It's the Jake and Kyle Show. Here are your hosts, Jake and Kyle.
And we're back with the Jake and Kyle program. So, I found this video on YouTube where this guy, he calls Cincinnati Reds games, like the baseball team. And I guess he got fired for saying the F word on the air.
No, that is mouse or swear.
Gets him suspended. Coming at you.
All right. I've never seen this, so I'm...
And then he offers like a really half...
All right, let's crank this bitch up. This better be...
He's probably referring to San Francisco, baby.
Is that the only slur he says?
He just says fag, I guess.
Oh my god, dude, did he not know? He definitely didn't know, dude.
Yeah.
3-0 ball game.
3-0 ball game coming
in. In front of the Royals, we go to the top half of the fifth inning.
Top half of the fifth inning.
To lead things off. Jim Day's going to be taking us the rest of the way through this game. As Holland takes over on the mound.
But he got fired, eh?
Oh, probably.
That's why he's taking over.
I guess went out over the air that I am deeply ashamed of. If I have hurt anyone out there, I can't tell you how much I say from the bottom of my heart. I'm so very, very sorry.
That's not sincere at all.
Still not enough. Even if you say sorry nowadays for saying something offensive, it still doesn't matter. Yeah.
As there's a drive in a deep left field by Castellanos, it will be a home run.
Nice.
And so that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
He has lost his job.
I don't know if I'm going to be putting on this headset again.
No shit, man. He won't be. Just looks like we're out of time. Oh, I'm fired. Okay.
I don't think I'm going to be put on this headset again.
Yeah, no shit.
So we were referring
2021.
To San Francisco as the fag capital of the
world. Well, it
kind of is.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, there's big movement there. It obviously bothered him so much that...
Well, it's because Twitter had a friggin' meltdown, probably. They said, get this fucking guy to apologize. And after he apologizes, let's fire him. Fucking cancel culture, cunts.
I apologize from the bottom of my heart. You could tell, like, that's just not him apologizing, yeah. He's just scared of getting fired.
Well, he's gonna get fired anyway, so... What's the point?
Yeah, he's, like, trying to commentate still, and then he's, like, he just knows. You can just tell by his voice. Poor guy.
We're out of time. I'm fired, okay.
Poor guy. I wonder if there's any other announcers that get caught saying slurs.
Oh, yeah, that'd be funny. I'd like to see that.
Announcers. Let's just maybe go announcers. Oh, dude. Do you ever watch Andrew Dice Clay?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of his bits.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, I was watching George Carlin before I came here.
His is fucking funny, too.
Yeah.
Dude. He's got some gnarly ones, man. He's like, he really crossed the line back in the day.
Oh, no shit.
Dude, like, really fucking fucked up shit, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, he's got some funny ones. Fired. This will be good.
Announcer's hot mic or something. Announcer's cursing, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, that one's funny.
Sorry,
I was watching a Red Wings game one time.
Oh, Charlie dropped the mitts, bro? We gotta watch this.
Oh, we gotta watch that.
You dropped the mitts an hour ago? Dude, this will be his first scrap of the season. Oh, you wanna go?
Let him strap, boys.
Let him strap.
Get out of the way, ref, you fucking pansy.
Oh, man, they both got no visors, too. This will be good. This better be good. Look at that big man. He's laughing at him, dude. Did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, such a fight. Drops to his knees. Oh, there it is.
God, hockey fights are lame nowadays.
Oh, I know. Look up Good Friday Massacre, since it's Good Friday tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
That's Nordiques and Habs. Just, like, fast forward to, like, the third minute of the fight, of the brawl.
Okay.
Just click the mic, I'll say it. Good Friday Massacre.
Oh, my God. Oh. Sorry, dude. I'm so tired.
It's all good.
I'm, like, tired of it. You know, so, oh, Good Friday for kids. No.
Two S's.
I should just hand you this thing, man. I'm
give me the fucking
thing.
Give me the fucking thing.
Here, go ahead.
Oh, shit. Oh, backspace. Here we go. Yeah, this is... Oh, frig off, Colt. Frig off, Sidney Crawford. Well, no, I admit I would talk here. I would admit that. Okay. So for our viewers, this is... since it's Good Friday tomorrow, this is a hockey game, a playoff game between the Montreal Canadiens and Quebec Nordiques from 1984. And a bench clearing brawl ensues. So, I mean, as English speaking Canadians, me and Kyle really don't have a problem with Quebecers killing each other, but yeah, we'll commentate as we see. Oh, I promote it too.
Yeah, let them.
Like, they're all fighting over who gets to cash for the first equalization check from Alberta.
Yeah.
But no, it gets better, man. I think, I swear to God, one guy's jersey gets freaking ripped off.
Holy shit. What year is it? Is
that 1984.
Jesus.
The refs just stand there.
Dude, are those two goalies in the same fucking team?
No, it's the one guy. The guy has his jersey pulled over his head.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah. That'd be fucked. Get out there, you pansy.
Yeah, come on, Dale Hunter. You couldn't control your temper when you took out Pierre... Bergeron, and when he scored that goal after you turned the puck over, but now you can control your temper.
Yeah, you think he'd be out there.
Yeah, you think he'd be out there swinging away.
Fucking throwing the haymakers. Holy fuck. This is a dog show.
Oh, it gets better. Just keep watching.
Those guys are in full 69. That's
yeah, exactly.
That is a...
Holy shit.
That is a French hockey fight right there.
Oh, totally.
Just mowing each other's junk.
Just busting each other in the fucking chops. There's Chris Knuckles and Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this fight here, it ends really awesomely. Just a little, it'll get to it.
Oh, it looks like he's getting a little kiss.
Yeah. These two guys here, watch the number 12.
Dude, this guy's coming in. They're going to have an A-frame. Pork roast.
Pork roast.
Yeah, dude. Oh, jeez. My God.
Yeah, he's cut too. Holy fuck.
Yeah, looks
the ref's like, you want to go? They just like grab jersey and wrestle it and be like, wail away.
Looks like two Canadians have grabbed a Nordique player, placed him in between them, and
then Hodges says that's enough. Break it up.
Now they're having the clinch. Pork roast. High fiving each other.
You guys weren't punching, so I stepped in.
Oh my god. Come on, goalies. The goalies are the only ones that are brave enough to do that with helmets on.
Yeah, that's Peter Stastny.
He's just like, he's in tears.
Yeah, well, he's a European, right?
Peter Stastny? I thought he was an American or Canadian.
He's Czech Republican.
Oh, yeah, that's
Czech Republic.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, watch, watch, watch. Watch right here, right here. Oh! Oh, just fucking clocks him. Oh. Epic. I think that poor guy, he fractured his eye socket and he never played again after that. John Hamel. He got fucking clocked, man.
I'm watching that again.
Jesus. That was a beautiful overhand left. Oh, phone call.
I was gonna message him.
Who's phoning you?
My older brother.
That was a beautiful overhand left. Holy shit. You know what's funny? The color guy, not Bob Cole, the color guy, he does the color now for the Red Wings games on Fox Sports.
Really?
Yeah, Mickey Redmond. I swear to God, I was watching one of the first games of the season this year, and there was a power play, and the Red Wings scored on it, and I could have sworn he dropped an F-bomb. He's like, man, that was the greatest fucking power play I've ever seen.
No, dude, just, this is awesome. How does this work? Like points after the game, like just no.
Oh, there was 200 penalty minutes. At the same time, that Bruce Hood has finally got some sense talked into these people. I don't think he has yet. And then when they come back for the third period, it just starts up again.
Why would they let him come back?
I know. It looked like there was going to be like a stick swinging duel too at one point.
That guy got fucked.
He just got clocked.
Looks like he'd be dead. Oh my god. This guy just drilled him.
He's down for the count for sure.
Kohler is cut over the eyes at the bench. And he is receiving some attention from the trainers for the Quebec Nordiques.
No more fights now?
No, they'll come back for the third period, and it just starts up again. They start and stop and start up again, you know?
Yeah.
He gets up, but he had to be helped off the ice.
Oh, yeah.
Jeez. It was a brilliant overhand left, though.
It was a nice punch, yeah.
Oh, it was a good punch. He connected for sure. The end of periods,
but seldom do you see this kind of a breakout.
Here it is.
Almost see this coming. There's where Hamel and
Slager
are tied up.
Out of nowhere, just pushes off the board.
Boom! Well, no, it's because he thought that the ref had them both tied up. So he's like, loosens his grip. Okay, the ref's got us tied up. And then somehow that guy, the Quebec guy, got his hand free and sucker punched him. Fuck, he got decked.
I know they're sitting at home now and they're saying, well, what happened to Jean Hamel? Well, I know commentators are supposed to have sharp eyes.
Well, you don't really have sharp eyes to begin with, Bob Cole. After someone scores a goal, the puck's in the net for 5 seconds and you're like, guys! Yeah, greatest announcer of all time in hockey. Sure. Your shot? Guys! Guys! Yeah, he said the exact same thing. Like, he thought they were tied up, and then he got smacked. Nice porn stash.
The whole team looks like they make porn.
Yeah, exactly.
God.
He just got fucking clocked.
He's not very coherent. He's gonna.
Well, like I said, he never played after this game. He fucked his eye up really bad.
Fuck, he got drilled.
God. He probably got thumbed, too. Got a thumb in the eye, maybe. If you know what that means.
Yeah.
Shit.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chris Chelios played in this game. That's how old he is.
Yeah,
he started out with the Habs, I think. Before he went to Detroit.
as fuck.
Yeah.
84, right?
84, I think, yeah.
Damn.
If there is a bouquet that you can pass, you have to look down at the man.
Ski Carbono.
I saw Larry Robinson in there.
Yeah, I think Guy Lafleur was playing too.
Yeah.
I'm not really sure if Larry Robinson was
Didn't
playing.
Didn't Guy Lafleur retire with Quebec?
Yeah, he played for the Nordiques, and then he played for the Rangers, and I think he called it quits after that. It continues after this.
Wow, these guys really hate each other.
Well, I mean, they're starting up again. Dale and Mark Hunter, two brothers, fight each other. See, now they're actually punching. Oh, yeah, Larry Robinson's playing in this game. Holy. Clint Malarchuk. Here's Clint Malarchuk. Guy got his throat cut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you didn't know that?
Yeah, no, I knew that. I just didn't...
Yeah, he was the backup for the Nordiques at this time, I think.
Shit. That video's fucked.
Oh, I know.
Raps big bald spot.
Sorry, Mickey. Shock Lemire just made a heck of a move over there. He grabbed Carbonell by the sweater.
Pretty Dale Hunter.
What a heck of a move.
What a heck of a move.
Trying to get some sense into this situation here. The sixth game of the series.
I think the Habs eventually won this series in overtime, I think. Louis Slager.
God.
Yeah, and the ironic thing from this is the friggin' PA announcer, see, like, stick swinging duel? Like, if the PA announcer's still announcing the penalties from the previous period, it's hilarious. And, like, Bob Cole even said something about it here.
Here. Without getting the third period started at all.
Mark Hunter, I'll tell you what, they better keep an eye on Mark Hunter. Bruce Hood is taking the charge between these two, and Mark Hunter is trying to get at Louis Slager, obviously.
This is the closest thing Canada's been to Civil War. Oh, Steve Shutt. That guy's responsible for rush forming. Steve Shutt.
Fully responsible?
Yeah, because he was friends with Geddy Lee in the high school.
Oh, yeah.
And then he introduced Geddy to Alex, and then that's how they became friends. Yeah.
Guy's a hero, man.
Oh. Here we go, watch. Oh. Look at the guy's jersey. It's all ripped. Jeez.
Holy shit.
Can you imagine just standing there, like with how low the glass is?
Yeah, dude. Just like right in there. Surprising the fans are throwing
the ref's just like, I don't know what to do here. He's just standing there.
Yeah.
This is probably why there's four refs in a hockey game now.
Yeah.
Because of shit like this. Like, you need an extra body to handle everything.
What do you do? You just let them go.
I know, look at the guy's jersey. Look at Dale Hunter's jersey. Just being ripped.
Oh my god.
It's just like, yeah, like at this point you have to get the cops in there. It's like,
yeah, I wouldn't get in there.
Yeah, you know, they got Larry Robinson's been involved now. Actually, I don't know if it's going to be any good for anybody, but it certainly cannot help the cause of the Montreal Canadiens. They're down to at least maybe three, maybe four if they're lucky. We don't know yet if Ludwig has been thrown out of the game or what he got right at the end of the period, but...
Mario Tremblay is being escorted by the referee Bruce Hood to the far side. I think he's gone.
It was Mark and Dale Hunter that were at it down there. Mark jumped on top. Finally got off. They got Tremblay right over to the bench. Nyland, he's gone out of the dressing room, if you can believe that, standing over by the Montreal bench.
Number 30, Clint Malarchuk. 5 minutes for fighting. Number 32, Dale Hunter, a double minor for roughing. Number 21, Randy Muller, 5 minutes fighting, 10 misconduct. Number 26, Peter Stastny, 5 minutes fighting, and again misconduct. Number 12, Louis Slager, 5 minutes for fighting, and again misconduct.
I just love how they just stop fighting listening to the penalties being called.
Yeah.
Yeah.
5 minutes for fighting. Number 21, Guy Carbonneau. 2 minutes
Guy
for fighting. Number 30, Chris Nyland.
Chris Knuckles Nyland.
Did they finish this game?
No, they. I think they. Yeah, they do. I think the Habs won in double overtime or something. Yeah. And I think they won the series too.
Yeah.
You've never seen this before?
Oh, I've seen it. Yeah. Not this whole thing. The time of the
penalties, 20 minutes. All right, these were the original penalties. Let's take a look at Bruce Hook now to make sure that nothing else erupts here while we try to pass the, well, the majors along to you. Nyland got a fighting for major, plus a second fighting major, a misconduct, and a game misconduct. Tremblay, a fighting major, and a game misconduct. Peter Stastny, a major and a game misconduct. Slager, a major and a game
misconduct.
Yeah,
this was pretty brutal shit. Yeah.
This is fucking...
Yeah,
this is hockey, though. I love it.
Oh, for sure.
I always wanted to be in one.
I wanted to be in a bench clearing brawl, for sure. I started a line brawl in my first year of beer league.
You told me that, dude.
Yeah, I regret doing that. Pretty stupid thing of me to do. I haven't kicked out of a beer league game for spearing. I think that was worse than the line brawl itself.
Yeah, I just speared somebody.
I was pissed. I just took the knob of my stick and jabbed it in the guy's like ribs. What's this?
I don't know. YouTube just picked it for us.
I thought that was George LaRocque for a sec. Okay, you want to start trouble? I'll finish it for you. Oh, I don't even know who these two guys are.
Something Haley.
Did you see on that Jujhar Kahara guy get fucking just clocked in the recently when the Oilers were playing the Flames? He like got knocked the fuck out. Like his eyes were like wide open. Like holy shit!
I think I did see that.
Yeah, I was watching that game with my dad. That was pretty brutal.
God, yeah, you never want to see that. I wonder when the last recorded bench brawl was in the NHL. Probably would have been.
Yeah,
it would have had to have been at least 20 years ago, right?
Definitely. It's not really. Well, in the AHL and the ECHL, there's lots of bench clearing brawls, too. Apparently. That's funny. Yeah. There's even this league in Quebec, too, where there's just brawls on, like, a daily basis. On, like, game, like every game.
I love that.
Yeah.
Fuck. I don't know what to look up, dude.
I don't know either.
Sorry, I'm so dead today.
Yeah, we can call it if you want with this podcast. If you want, if you're not up to.
Oh, I just feel like not very.
Yeah.
I'm just tired, you know. I'm not.
Same here. I had a really fucking long day at work today.
I'm not being very observant. I'm just out of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of out of it now too.
Fuck.
You want to sign off then, or?
I don't know. I don't know. Gosh. What can we sign off on? One last little thing. Oh, I know what. Okay. Dude, this is awesome. Okay. This
totally one. Awesome.
All right,
Hamilton.
The other night, I was just watching, like, these WWE videos, and I know they're fake, but I just think the ones of, like, the wrestlers hitting, like, fucking doing wrestling moves on girls are so funny. I don't know why. I don't know why I think it's so funny, but this video is hilarious.
Oh, God.
This is fucked.
Oh, there's a boxing match I want to show you where it was when George Foreman fought Joe Frazier to win the heavyweight championship of the world. And there was one point in the fight, it was like, it looked like the way George Foreman knocked him down, it just looked really funny the way Frazier fell on the canvas. I know, it's, like, he's like, trying to get away from him, and then George just smacks him with this right hand, and then he just, like, abruptly just falls onto the canvas. It was just the way he fell looked really funny.
Too stupid.
Yeah.
Really goofy.
Oh, I know. Yeah, just that, whatever. Like, look up George Foreman versus Joe Frazier 1. Oh, I swear to God, Frazier hit the canvas like 8 fucking times. That's how powerful Foreman was in his heyday.
Look at how old this shit. This is just. They used to do some fucked up shit back.
What?
Right. They're so fucked in, like, in character.
All of a sudden, that old lady gets up and just smacks someone over the head with a wrench.
No, just wait.
Oh, no. What the hell is this? No, no, no! That's elder abuse. Jesus. And he's just... The steroids just ravaging him.
Dude, just how she, like, barely... Jesus. Just how she, like, barely gets up. Like, you can tell she's
God,
just, like...
God, what? This is awful. It's hard. I can't even... I'm trying not to laugh at that. Oh, look at that.
Oh, my God. Big power bomb off this. Oh, the into freaking a table.
Stage dive. Bam!
They're trained.
I know.
That still's gotta hurt.
Oh, I know. That guy looks like he's in shock.
That guy is fucked. He hasn't blinked once. Look at what he's done.
What a dick.
If you got an old lady
here comes the stretcher.
Yeah, if you got an old lady sitting between your legs through a table.
See, what the hell is that guy doing? Is he performing an exorcism or something?
It looks like it.
Looks like it, yeah, totally. Somebody's got to do something about this. When is somebody going to step up and do something about this? That guy just like cum in his pants just there. He's like, his eyes go in the back of his head.
Yeah, he just is.
Bam!
Through the table.
Like, oh, reverse angle. Bam!
How can you do that to her? She's already got a neck brace on. I think that's his mom or something, I don't know.
Adoptive mom?
Yeah.
God, I admit that was kind of funny, but at the same time I feel guilty for laughing at that.
I think it's pretty funny. These are all pretty funny to me.
God, wrestling is just, oh my God, it's so stupid.
It is stupid. There's this one I found of like Randy Orton doing that RKO move on, I don't know why I think they're so funny. Like, they're just, like, they're just fucked. And...
Oh. Come on.
Oh, my God.
That's a new 69 position.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Oh my God. These guys are big.
Alright.
That's my brother.
What does he want?
He wants me to come over and play ping pong.
Ping pong? So what other wrestling video you want to sign out on? Oh, is that Xena, that chick superhero? Go down. Oh, no, it's not. Never mind.
Hey, what's Hi. Up?
Hi.
Hi.
Wait, what? That chick superhero, where?
No, I don't know where it went.
These are funny. I don't know. Nothing beats that old lady.
Yeah, the body slam.
Oh, God.
Well, are we watching another one?
They just got the same move.
Oh, God.
No.
Uh-oh. CTE, the movie.
God, this guy's weird. Okay, I've had enough of these.
Yeah, that's enough of that.
Where are we at? 28 minutes.
We're almost at half an hour. Yeah.
Yeah, find that Mike Tyson thing. Or that boxing thing.
Alright, yeah, let's
check that out.
It's kind of funny. George. the best part of this fight was just how like enthusiastic the announcer was. He was like having like freaking like multiple orgasms over George beating the crap out of this guy. It was really funny. I spelled his name wrong. Man. There it is. God damn it. Yeah, this one. How do you fast forward it? Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Alright, I'm excited.
This will even work. Here we go. It gets better. I think it starts right here.
Here we go.
Oh. You should see the George Foreman. He makes a comeback in the late 80s. And, like, he's this big, fat, fucking, sweaty, fat, fucking. He, like, he beats people up. And he's to this day, he's actually the oldest man to win the heavyweight championship of the world. He won it again at 45. Yeah.
That's crazy. Like, yeah. Out of shape and shit.
Yeah. There he goes. It's Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Says it like three times.
Holy shit.
Like, yeah, he goes down like eight fucking times in this entire fight. It only lasts two rounds.
Shit, bro, his head just bounces off the punches.
Yeah, I know, like, even my jab is like that. It's so freaking powerful, like, even when I throw a jab.
Holy shit.
Even when you throw a jab, you don't necessarily, like, have to always, like, punch him, as long as you just, the main thing about it is to just keep your opponent at bay. You don't always have to clock him in the face with it.
Yeah. Oh my god, he's fucking him up. How's this guy still conscious? Oh, God.
He almost falls over there. He kept his balance there. I think he goes down again right here. Oh. I always get so freaking creeped out when the boxer falls and hits their head on a rope. Cause there's been times where boxers like hit their head and they got like severe brain damage from hitting the rope. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. The Muhammad Ali's manager was at this fight, and you can actually hear him screaming in the next round, "Stop the fight!" And the ref doesn't even listen to him. Yeah. Yeah.
What are you saying right now? He's probably just...
Oh, jeez. I know, that's big George Foreman for you.
Oh, jeez. What did he say?
He's about to punch him again and the ref stepped in. Okay. He's about to go down again. Joe
God.
Here, oh, right there, there. It's just the way he falls down is funny.
He's like skipping, running away.
Yeah, and then he's just like, fucking bam.
He looks like he just got pants, but his pants stayed yeah. on as he was running away.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, oh, what an uppercut. Holy crap.
God, this guy's resilient. Even though he's getting
he just keeps getting just smacked and then just keeps getting up. Jeez.
Call the fight.
Yeah, like you can hear that guy yelled, stop it. That's Muhammad Ali's manager. He keeps saying, stop it. Yeah, that was pretty funny though. Like,
yeah, that was something. Jesus, that guy was just
silly. Oh no, shit! And then they fought again a few years later, and George just beat the shit out of him again. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else you want to watch? Or
can't think of anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got any ideas?
I can't really think of anything though. There's Buffalo's new head coach, John Tortorella.
Is he actually?
Well, no, me and Liam are predicting Columbus is going to fire him, and then...
That'd be so funny.
He would totally turn that team around.
Yeah, but I bet you some of those players wouldn't like him, though.
Oh, I know. That's why Luc Dubois wanted out of there.
Yeah.
I don't like getting yelled at. Fuck off.
Yeah. Little bitch.
That's why Mike Babcock was forced out, because players were pussies and couldn't take his criticism.
Yeah. That's lame.
Yeah. When the fuck did Eric Lindros play for the Dallas Stars? I know Forsberg played for the Predators, but that's really weird.
There's some weird ones.
Yeah, that's fucking weird. Now we're making it even more exciting. Oh, just stop.
It's very rare to see a super team emerging in the NHL, and lesser in the 1980s, that is. But after the Red Wings won the Stanley Cup in 2002 with their team of superstars and Hall of Famers, other teams began to try to assemble their own super team to win a championship. One of the teams to hop on the bandwagon was the Colorado Avalanche, and they would add massive additions that offseason in free agency, one of them being Teemu Selanne. Selanne was coming off a 64-point campaign in San Jose and would sign a one-year deal with the Avs for the 03-04 season. The contract he signed paid him $5.8 million, and
only $5.8. I guess that was a lot back then.
Well, yeah, that's like 2002 money.
He felt he had the best chances of winning a cup in Denver. However, what also enticed Selanne to sign was that his longtime partner and former teammate Paul Kariya would also sign with the Avalanche, reuniting the dynamic duo from the mighty Ducks of Anaheim. Adding Teemu and Kariya to a roster that already featured Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic, and Adam Foote made the Avalanche look like instant contenders, and they were one of the most feared teams headed into that season. But their attempt at a super team would ultimately backfire as the injury bug took a toll on the team, mainly Selanne and Kariya. Teemu would have his worst statistical season in his career up to that point, recording 16 goals and 16 assists for just 32 points, and he would also find himself playing bottom 6 minutes and even becoming a healthy scratch come the postseason. Kariya would suffer multiple wrist injuries that sidelined him for a vast majority of the season, causing Paul to also record career lows. Kariya would finish the year with 36 points in 51 games, and after 1 year in Colorado and failing to come anywhere close to a Stanley Cup, both Selanne and Kariya would departure elsewhere. Selanne would return to Anaheim and eventually win a Stanley Cup, while Kariya would sign in Nashville and finish his career in St. Louis. Teemu Korea aren't exactly remembered as members of the Avalanche and aren't the only players you forgot played for random teams, as ironically, one of Timo and Korea's teammates on that 03-04 team would soon find themselves on a random team of their own.
That's probably Forsberg, if you're just saying, yeah.
Peter Forsberg, right-hand man, was notorious for his blazing speed, swift hands, and unfortunately, his injury problems, as they would soon pitch up to Peter after the lockout in 2005. Once the salary cap was implemented, it forced the Avs to get rid of some key players, and one of them was Peter Forsberg.
Yeah, I never thought he was known for, like, big hits and shit.
Yeah, I know. Philadelphia Flyers, I think so either.
He's Swedish, dude, isn't he?
He's Swedish.
To remove a bursa sack from his right ankle.
They're all big hit highlights.
That season, but only in 60 games.
We played for Philly.
Yeah, he did. I remember that.
Thanks to a groin injury. After Philly lost to the Sabres in the postseason, Forsberg would once again require surgery on his right ankle. His doctor claimed he was good to go, but apparently he was nowhere near ready. As all throughout the 06-07 season, Forsberg would struggle due to not fully recovering, and at this point, Philly was getting tired of missing out on Forsberg's true potential. On February 15th, a few days before the trade deadline, Nashville would acquire Forsberg from Philly for two draft picks, Scott Hartnell and Ryan Braun. Peter Forsberg's time in Nashville only lasted 17 games, as he would produce 15 points and would join the Predators on their playoff run. Their short one at that, as they would be ousted by San Jose in their first round. After that year ended, Forsberg would head back to free agency, eventually returning to the Avalanche. Because Forsberg returned to the Avalanche and only lasted 17 games in Nashville, barely anyone remembers Forsberg's brief stint as a Predator. And if you ask anyone nowadays if they knew Forsberg was once a Predator, they'd probably look at you like you have three heads, assuming you're talking about the other Forsberg, Philip Forsberg. The story of how Lou Groba tied up the Kings is pretty interesting. Now, most people know that he was one of the members of the 0102 Red Wings team, but before that, Robitaille was actually once a member of the Pittsburgh Penguins, and his trade to the Berg was controversial at the time. After LA's
1990s, that's like interesting. I just want to know right away, though. You know,
it was clear that Robitaille seemed like he did put up good numbers, posting 84 points in 83 games, but those totals were considerably lower than his previous totals. As during that 92-93 season, he would produce 125 points, and in that run to the final, he had a team low plus-minus despite scoring a respectable 9 goals. Luke was the face of the franchise for the past 8 seasons up to that point, so why trade away a guy who scored no less than 44 goals in a single season? Well, who else was on that 93 Kings team? Wayne Gretzky, and he had a reputation of somewhat calling the shots. In fact, a few months before the Robitaille trade, Gretzky was able to get the Kings to bring in Marty McSorley, who was Gretzky's protector in Edmonton. So when it was announced that Robitaille was traded, it shocked a lot of people, until it was announced that he was being swapped for then longtime companion of Gretzky, Rick Tocchet. There were even rumors of Gretzky telling Rick at Rick's wedding that he was going to try to acquire him as well. I was able to find this all out thanks to an article I found that was actually published around the time Robitaille was traded to the Penguins. And in that article, it mentioned that some shots were fired in the press thanks to Robitaille's agent, Pat Breeson. Breeson stated to the media that, quote, "Wayne is one of the greatest players ever, but Wayne is a player and should not be making the decisions. I don't know if he does or not." Despite the controversial departure, once arriving in the Pittsburgh for the 94-95 season, Robitaille would continue to struggle. It didn't help that the year was shortened due to a strike, but Robitaille posted career lows in goals, assists, and points, only tallying 42 points in 46 games. Luckily, his Pens would reach the postseason, but would lose in the semifinals to the eventual Stanley Cup winning New Jersey Devils. After that season ended, Robitaille would get shipped off to the Rangers, where he would continue to struggle, and it wasn't until he returned to LA where his numbers began to increase once again. Seeing Robitaille in a Penguins jersey looks interesting, but not as interesting as seeing one of the best American-born players in a jersey that wasn't green.
Fuck, losing a bit of steam here on the podcast.
Yeah, I know. Same. We'll shut it off once this bit's over.
Yeah. Sorry if it's any years.
Yeah, I remember when Mike Modano played for the Red Wings. I actually enjoyed him playing there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he did for a year.
But didn't he finish his career back in... No.
Dallas? I'm not sure.
In the early 2010s, the Red Wings were notorious for signing grizzled former superstars in order to keep their coveted playoff streak alive. And one of those players they inked to a contract was Stars legend Mike Modano. Modano was a member of the Stars organization for 21 consecutive years and would set franchise records, becoming arguably the best American-born player to ever lace up the skates. So when the Stars announced that they didn't intend on signing Medano during the 2010 offseason, Detroit wanted to bring him home. The Wings hoped Medano could be a veteran presence and add some depth scoring. But once arriving, Father Time would not be good to Mike at all. He would score an opening night, but would then go on a cold streak. And when he finally began settling in, he would suffer a wrist injury in late November, which would sideline him for 3 months. Once returning, Medano still couldn't catch a break. He would manage to play in only 40 games, tallying 15 total points, and eventually becoming a healthy scratch in the postseason. Medano himself stated that, quote, "I can't stay on the ice as long. I think my body is telling me I'm near my end." Medano would listen to his gut, and after the Red Wings were eliminated, he would announce his retirement from the NHL. Most probably wish he retired a member of the Dallas Stars, and Detroit probably wishes things were able to pan out, as Medano's stint as a Red Wing is still forgotten by many to this day. Ed Belfour is personally one of my favorite netminders, and his impact on the Blackhawks in the early 90s was amazing to look back on. Belfour was able to burst onto the scene, winning a Vezina and Jennings trophy in his rookie season, becoming the Hawks' starting netminder, and even helping take Chicago to the Stanley Cup final in 1991. Belfour was consistently good from 1992 all the way to 1995. He would help the Hawks become consistent contenders, all while posting solid numbers and taking home some hardware. In 1993, he would once again win the Vezina trophy and would even cause the Hawks to trade Dominic Hasek out of town in 92. But after injuring his back at the start of the 95-96 season, it seemed like Belfour would miss significant time. That is, until Belfour insisted on trying to play through the pain, and that wasn't a very wise decision. It caused his play to drop drastically, which eventually led him to being outplayed by his backup netminder, Jeff Hackett. The following season, after another playoff defeat, the Hawks would blow it up, causing Belfour and the entire team to play absolutely awful.
He was also a massive alcoholic, though.
Really?
He still is.
Eager to make a move.
He recently got arrested for DUI in Kentucky. His mugshot was so funny. He's like smiling. He's like this.
Was going to be too much for Chicago to afford. Lombardi would attempt to make his first big trade as a new GM, trading Chris Terreri, two other players, and an additional second-round pick to Chicago, acquiring Eddie the Eagle. But this is where things would go south, as Belfour stint in San Jose wouldn't last very long. He would miss some time injuring his MCL, and his back issues would catch up to him once again, slowing down his performance even more.
He also played for the Leafs too, if you remember that.
I remember it was really late in his career with the Leafs.
Actually offered him less money to play for the team. His reasoning, he felt that Dallas was stronger and had better odds at winning it all. Belfour would be correct, and as everybody knows, Eddie would revive his career, becoming a star once again, and even winning the Stanley Cup in 1999.
Belfour cheating to win the Stanley Cup, thanks Brett Hall.
But at least enough to become bad enough to earn the second overall pick, which helped the Sharks draft none other than Patrick Marleau. Belfour's time in San Jose was forgetful, but not as forgetful
as Marleau's still playing.
Yeah, he's playing. I don't even remember.
Eric Lindros is one of the best power forwards to ever play the game and was expected to become an NHL all-time.
Well, you should have kept your head up maybe Scott Stevens would have taken your head off.
Back fucking idiot. Nonetheless, Eric
Stevens fucked him up.
Oh, I know. Everyone's like, oh, Scott Stevens is so dirty. And it's like, it's called finishing your check, fuckface. Sick of people shitting on him. He's like one of the greatest defensemen to play the game.
Yeah, didn't a few other... Me and Jerry was a turd. A few other people too.
Paul Kariya came back.
In the later half of his career. And once again, injuries would hold him back from playing a full 82 games. He would tear a ligament in his
leg. In Bantam, I tried to model my game after Scott Stevens. That didn't really turn out well.
Time in Toronto. Lindros would only record 22 points and play in 33 games before hitting the open market once again.
Fuck, we're almost at 50 minutes now. After this video, we will.
Officially caught up to him, as he would once again just produce 26 points, scoring just 5 goals. The Stars would make the playoffs, making it the first time Lindros appeared in the postseason since the 99-2000 season, but Lindros would only play in 3 of those games, recording a whopping 0 points. points, and it was clear that Lindros had nothing left in the tank. After the Stars would lose in 7 games to Vancouver, Lindros would announce his retirement from the NHL. It's really a shame what ended up happening to Lindros, as after years of crushing the opposition and suffering from brutal collisions, it would eventually catch up to him.
Lindros, well, also, I mean, if this idiot would have stayed in Quebec, he would have went to Colorado and won a couple cups. You know, he got drafted by the Nordiques. Yeah. I'm not playing there, so they shipped him off to Philly. If he would have stayed there, he would have teamed up with Patrick and Joe, and he would have won a Stanley Cup with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it's... Oh, it's almost over. Oh. Yeah, if Marty was in that there, he would have stopped it.
Yeah. Totally.
Jeez. Yeah, it's pretty much over now. And we are at 50 minutes. So with that, we're gonna call it a day here on the Jake and Kyle Show. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Happy Easter.
Fucking nights.
This is a recent installment of the Jake and Kyle Show. Follow Jake on Instagram at Tuppinator2. And also follow Jake and Kyle's band Ortona on Instagram at Ortona Band. We thank you for listening. Have a nice day.